Now, when he took that off and he was touching the back of his head, and he realized, I was like, oh, y'all thought he was evil and not fucking around before. They turned something up in him. I was just like, whoever finna get it, finna get it.
Gonna get it, boy. Y'all don't know who y'all the best with just now.
Y'all,
OMG.
boy, talk about fucking around and finding out. Y'all finna find out. What's up? What's up? What's up to the DGITG crew? It has been a long ass time.
A very, very long time. Very long time.
But we thought we would come back and bless you back in October because it's October. It is the month of Halloween. It is the month of all the horror movies.
Spooky
You're at
season.
And your horror aunties are back. I am Miss B.
And I am Toot. And October is also. What this is like the month that we started everything, like, yeah. So we're going on what, 3 years now?
3 years, but I mean, we took a big chunk out of like one of them. So it's like 3 years, but it's really probably like two.
Probably like two, 1.5, 2, something like that.
Your auntie's child, we work and we got elderly parents, so things just happen.
Just
Things,
stuff, and
and
then like
sometimes,
time get away from you, and
yeah, and sometimes you need a mental break. You're just busy with life, and so we're back, and we know we also have another movie in our back pocket, so if anything, you're definitely going to get 2 episodes minimum this month. If we can do more, we can, but we're definitely going to have, we got two in the chamber. So, but yes, welcome to the Don't Go In There Girl podcast. If you have never visited us, and if you come back, thank you for coming back and staying down and holding down the forts. Again, I am Miss B and this is Tuts.
Hello, hello. Welcome back.
And we have a podcast where we kind of do breakdown of movies and we kind of put our own spin on it and trying to discuss a little bit of everything. So we are here today. And today the movie we're going to talk about is Saw. Is it Saw 10 or Saw X? Because X is the Roman
Yeah,
numeral for
X is
10,
the
right?
Roman numeral for 10. And
So is this called Saw 10 or is it called Saw X or
it might be Saw 10, but I like saying Saw X for some
Okay.
strange reason.
Because, I mean, that one movie was called Jason X.
That's right. It wasn't called Jason 10. It was called
But
Jason
it
X.
was it the 10th one?
It was.
Okay, so it's the same thing.
And I like and you know, that's one of those ones that a lot of people in that they don't like that one. I actually like that movie, but that's a whole nother podcast episode right there.
I'll say that movie had one of the coolest kill scenes in horror movie history.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so I'm down with Saw X. I don't it doesn't sound right to me to call it Saw 10.
Okay, so Saw X. So we are going to start. We're going to just jump right into it.
Let's jump
So
into
this film starts out, we see what would you call him? The antagonist of this series.
it. Right, because he's killing people, but so what,
Yeah.
anti-hero?
Well, yes. So he's known as Jigsaw, but his government name in this movie is John Kramer. So he's in a hospital setting and he's talking to the doctors, and the doctors are pretty much like, yeah, you've got brain cancer and shit's terminal. You're gonna die. And he's like, so how many years? And the doctor is like, years.
Like years, bro. Slow your roll.
Four down. Months. Months. And he's pretty much, the doctor's trying to pretty much like, hey, because John was like, "Well, you know, I got a couple of things. Like, I still got to go to work. I got a couple of things I need to do." And then the doctor's like, "Just retire." You know, I find out people who, when they really accept this, they can just kind of, this is an easier process for them. And he's, you know how John is. He's very stoic. Like, "You want me
Right.
to die easy?
You want me to die easy? You know,
I
like,
got shit I
John,
need to
what else you
do.
gonna do, bro?"
I got shit I need to do." So he goes on about his business, and then he goes into one of the, I don't know if this is an examination room, and in the examination room there's like a wall or partition. It was really a wall, and when he's looking through the wall, there's a window, and the window has some blinds on it, so it's not as clear if you're looking on the other end. And so on the other end, you see this patient who is got tubes all in them. They look like they might be comatose. They're clearly out of it. And you have a gentleman who comes in there, and you can tell he's staff at this hospital or clinic. And this gentleman is going through this dresser, and you see that he's looking at the patient's, we assume this is the patient's items, rings, watches, looking at his wallet. And John is looking at all of this. And this motherfucker's gonna be stealing from. And then I think we noticed when you look over, I think you look at the patient's hand. I think he was missing fingers or something. So I guess the guy's like, "Well, he ain't gonna need this ring or this watch anymore, so I'm gonna steal it." And so whilst John is looking at this man, it goes into this scene. Tut, you wanna explain the scene?
So it goes into the first trap of the movie. So this gentleman that's doing the stealing is sitting in a chair and he has this weird contraption on his eyes. It's like tubes on his eyes that are connected to some type of something, I don't know. And he's sitting in a chair and his fingers are connected to some things. And basically, the trap is like, you know, you got sticky fingers and you shouldn't be stealing from people. And, you know, these people are vulnerable and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you need to turn this dial and, you know, do something with your fingers or whatever before the time runs out. And I don't even remember how much time he gave him. But he basically had to turn this dial and then the dial like started breaking his fingers one by one. And by the time he got to the last one, he ran out of time. And these things, whatever this thing was, that's the little contraptions, the tubes are on his eyes, they suck his eyes out of his head. It is just nasty as hell. And then when they suck the eyes out, it goes back to the hospital, and you realize John Kramer was daydreaming about torturing this person. And
Yes.
so, when he comes out of the daydream, he sees the guy and the guy sees him. And so the guy puts those items back into the drawer of the purse of the comatose person. And when he walks out, John tells him, "You made a good choice." And then he leaves.
And he really did, because I believe if he would have stole them, John would have added him in the mix. He surely would have. It's like he's like a fucked up Robin Hood, so to speak.
Something like that. Like
It's like,
he's like a fucked up poor man's sick ass Batman, you know, because Batman is the vigilante
he's
and
like a sadistic vigilante justice.
yeah.
It's really weird.
Like
Okay,
a
so
Batman with toys.
yes. So the next scene, we are at a what we presume to be a cancer meeting. And John is in the meeting. He looks like so disinterested, and you're hearing people telling their stories like, "Hi, my name is so and so. I have this type of cancer. I'm terminal." There's one gentleman in there. The actor, his name is Michael Beach. He, if you ever remember the movie Soul Food, he fucked Cousin Faith. He fucked Cousin Faith. Faith fucked my husband.
What the family? Fuck my husband.
This family. I'm sorry, y'all.
Family.
Yes, so it's Michael Beach, and his name is Harry, I want to say Kessler or Henry Kessler.
Henry Kessler. And
And
maybe
he
that should have been the first clue right there, Aquia, the fact that they cast this man and he was who he was. And
So he mentions when he goes around and he says he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and it's terminal. Anybody who knows, when you usually get stage 4 pancreatic, you're usually out of there. And then of course, you know, they're just doing their rounds or whatever, and then that scene is over with. And then we see John. We see John sitting down what looks like kind of a park, and he's with his, he has a sketchbook. And then we notice a gentleman go up to, it looks like a stand out there, maybe perhaps to like get coffee or something. And then when he turns around, we notice it's Mr. Kessler, the black guy from the support group. And so John looks up and he notices them, and you know, we notice that he looks very healthy, like, because John's over there looking like he is two tiptoes to the grave. And this man who had stage 4 terminal cancer, it just looks like a beacon of health. So John is pretty much like, what's been going on? And, you know, you look great. And Kessler tells him pretty much like, surprisingly, I'm in remission. And, you know, and then he was just like, I went to a specialist and they pretty much have cured me. And so John's like, what's the tea? Because I need to get up on some of that too, because clearly you can see I'm not doing so well. So Henry gives him a website. He's like, this is a website. Just go there, look up everything, get in contact with them, and hopefully they can help you. And just good luck to you. So John, he takes that, the website, goes on there, and he sees that, he researches it. It's a doctor that has what do they have? Like, they're not really FDA approved.
Yeah,
so
nothing is FDA approved. Nothing is approved by anybody. It's just experimental.
It's an experimental thing. And they have to be very private, because we all know how the American healthcare system, if they find out that people are curing cancer, the FDA and the big pharma is not going to like that, because keeping people sick is lucrative.
Yes.
So he researches everything. And then we want to say sometime later, he gets a phone call. So I'm assuming this is days later. And someone from that institute reaches out to him. And we find that her name is Dr. Peterson. And apparently her father was like a really well-known scientist, doctor, oncologist, and he created some cocktails to cocktail plus a surgery to help people get out of cancer. And she pretty much tells him, like, you know, this is very effective. Like, we have like a 90% success rate, and I can get you in about 3 months. And then he gets quiet. And she get quiet because it's awkward. And she like, oh, you ain't got 3 months, do you? And she's like, no. And then she lets him know that they're going to be doing some kind of specialized something in Mexico. And she can get him in about a week. And he's pretty much like, bet, I'm with it. And so she's just like, okay, you know, we're going to get accommodations for you. And, you know, whatever, I'm sure behind the scenes they talk about payment and everything. We didn't hear anything as far as numbers. But the next scene, we see him in Mexico. And when he, oh, when he gets to Mexico, because they are taking care of accommodations, they have a driver come and get him. Guy's holding his name, gets in the cab. Cab guy is very, very chatty. John looked disinterested, but this guy is naming all of these statues and monuments and all this stuff. He was a little too chatty for my taste. And there was this one statue. It was really beautiful. And I forgot what he said that statue was about. It was about, it looked like a kind of like a Mayan or Incan mask. And I think he said that people used to drop something like heads or hearts down there, something like that.
He said the thing in the statue would like, I guess according to the legend, would take people's hearts out and like drop them down the stairs. And he said people always wanted them to bring him to wanted him to bring them to that statue for some reason. He didn't know.
Yeah. So and I bring up that statue because it's kind of important for later on. So while they're going to their destination, a big van comes up in front of them and pretty much tries to ambush them. You got guys with masks on and guns and like, get the fuck out the car. And, you know, John is shook because it's like, damn, he already got terminal cancer. And it's like, you know, he got robbed
out this motherfucker.
It's like, what the fuck? Are you serious? And so the guys were like, what's your name? And he was like, John Kramer. And he's like, don't lie to me. What's your name? And he was like, I'm not lying. It's John Kramer. He shook, but he's still like stoic and on his shit. Mm-hmm. And then we noticed that this was kind of a test. And we noticed that these guys are part of the process, the transit process. And he's like, okay, everything's cool. You know, grab your shit, grab your bags, get in the back of this van. Cause I guess they wanted to be very secretive. So John goes in the back of this van. So it ain't no windows. So he can't see shit about the, I guess that's how top secret they want to be about the location. So John gets to the location. He's greeted by, I guess, the house girl. Her name is Gabriella. She seemed very shy and timid, and she grabs his bags and shows him the house and shows him where his living quarters would be or his bed. And she's like, I'm gonna get the doctor for you. And then we see the doctor come in and she's talking to John, and you know, they pretty much, you know, she's wanting to get to know him, like about his life, what does he do. And then they then aside the pleasantries, they talk more about the actual process of the procedure and what it's all about, what's entail. It's going to entail like cocktail of medicines plus a surgery. And while they're sitting out on the patio, Gabriella comes out with this tequila and gets two glasses. And it's like, I guess it's just a tradition there. It's good luck to drink the tequila. So yeah, she leaves. And you can tell he's like pretty smitten with Gabriella. Not like he like has a crush on her, but he's taking a liking to her, just his mannerism.
She also tells him that saved her
healed
life.
Her. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's another reason he took a liking to her, because she looks healthy and like somebody who was cured. And of course the doctor's like, we're starting surgery immediately tomorrow. So you can't drink that. But yeah. So what happens next is she wants to take him to see the grounds as far as where the surgery will be taking place. So they go into this this other room, and the room has no windows. It looks very, you don't know what's going on. You can tell they want it to look like a secret space. So when they go in there, they notice like it's like a makeshift surgery operating room. And they actually, while he's walking in there, she's kind of describing like what's going on, who is who. And then you have one gentleman in there who I guess he's already been worked on, and he introduces himself, like he's got bandages around his neck. And he's pretty much like, you know, they took care of me. I forgot what kind of cancer he said he had, but like
he said he had throat cancer.
Throat cancer. Okay. Because he was even coughing a little bit and, you know, just kind of coming out of it. But, you know, he's just pretty much introducing himself like, good luck to you. And the doctor's like, this is this doctor. And this is this doctor. This is who's going to be doing this with you. And this is this nurse. And this is going to be doing this with you.
And the guy with the surgery was Parker Sears. And
oh, that was his name. Okay.
Yeah. Introducing him to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And so she pretty much takes him back and like, hey, we're going to start this surgery in the morning. So yeah. So next scene, we see him on the surgery table, and she tells him that, and this was kind of weird to me. She's like, so we're going to do things where you're going to be not totally under. You're going to be in and out, because we need to check, since we're working on your brain, we want to see how your motor functions and things work. So you'll be in and out, which is fucking crazy. I've never heard of anybody doing local anesthesia on a neurosurgery. So that's when I was just like,
I can see it though, because you don't want to put them under and then nick the wrong thing, and then you don't know what you nicked until later.
They explained that right, because I was just like, okay, it makes sense to like kind of see how his functions are working. So he has moments where he's clear and it's still groggy, so he can kind of see. So he's looking at a screen and it looks like what the surgeon is doing, working on his brain. So you see brain, you see some matter in the middle. So we're assuming that's the cancer. I don't know if that's part of the anatomy of the brain. And then he's going out. So while he's going out, we have one of the nurses or attendants come in there and go to where that screen is showing, because he's in clear view of the screen, and turns the screen away. And, you know, they're doing the surgery. He's out. And then next thing we know, he wakes up. Surgery is over. He's now in the healing room or the healing bed. And a doctor comes in and was just like, everything was a success. And to her left, she's got like these vials, these cocktails. And she's just like, you take one in the morning, you take one at night. I think it was like 7 days worth. So he's just like kind of in post-care. And he was just like, can I meet the rest of the team? And she's pretty much like, the team is gone, but you know, because you know, they be moving around and maybe they have another assignment. He was like, but I'd like to send them my love or whatever. He's healing and shit. And then on one day, we don't know how quickly this day was from his healing, he goes to the local liquor store, and he goes and gets a bottle of that tequila that Gabriella bought. And he's like asking him to put a gift card on there because he wanted to write a nice note and he wanted to give it to her. So when he gets the tequila, he goes to the house because he's going to drop it off to her. And then he notices the house, it looks ransacked. So he's just like, what the fuck's going on? It doesn't look like anyone lives there. So he's going through the house and he's getting suspicious. So he goes to the back of the compound where the building is, where they're having the surgery. And then when he gets in there, he notices that all of the equipment is gone. None of the surgery stuff, like everything is gone, except like just a few items. It's like they took that shit and left. So he goes into the main part where the surgery is supposed to be taking place. Child. Girl, it broke my heart when I was seeing this, because I was just like, you see this? You see this?
He was genuinely worried, mm-hmm. walking in there. Like, he saw the pictures all on the floor, and he was like, holy crap. He done been attacked and kidnapped and all this kind of
and
stuff.
And because this is a top secret thing, he was probably thinking, man, maybe the government, somebody found out about him and, like, just took their shit. Maybe they're in trouble. And then he sees this fucking... It looked like a videotape, VHS. It was pretty much, I forget the title, but it's pretty much Surgery for Dummies.
It was a DVD.
It was a DVD. Surgery for Dummies. And then he's looking on the screen and it's like these videos playing. And he then sees the video that he had noticed when he was in surgery of that brain surgery. So he's putting everything together and he's just like, hold on, this whole thing is a farce. Like, this is some bullshit. Like, this is, girl, I've heard of a lot of scams, but I was just like, what a hell of a scam.
This was a hell of a scam.
And so, you know, when he's looking and realizing things are bullshit, he goes to a window, no, mirror, because he still got his bandage from his surgery. And even before the doctor had left, the doctor was just like, don't touch the bandage. Like, you got to leave it on.
Don't wet it. Don't do anything to it.
Don't want you to get any infections, whatever. Girl, when he go to that damn mirror and take off them bandages, y'all, they didn't do shit. They didn't even have the decency to fucking shave his hair or like even put a fake scar on it. It was just his hair. Bitch, it's just like if you had a bonnet on and you took it off, that's exactly what his shit looked like. I was just like, oh my God.
It was like if he had a fitted cap on and he just took the fitted cap off, his hair was still under there.
And he's touching the back of his head because he's like, surely, because he couldn't even believe it. He don't feel no area where surgery has been done. And he's just like, wow, these people fucking scammed the fuck out of me. Wow. And it's crazy because, you know, we know this character to be stoic, non-forgiving. This is like the first time we see him have a little light in his eyes. He mm-hmm. has some hope because he's having a second chance. And I was just like, wow. Yeah. When he took that off and he was touching the back of his head, he realized, I was like, oh, y'all thought he was evil and not fucking around before. They turned something up in him. I was just like, Whoever finna get it, finna get it.
They finna get it, boy. Y'all don't know who y'all the messed with just now. OMG.
Boy, talk about fucking around and finding out. Y'all finna find out. So he's just like, he's doing research and trying to find people and investigate, because he's just like, I need to find these motherfuckers. So he realized this has all just been a scam, a farce. So he's just like, I got to find these motherfuckers, because you know, that's how I do. That's how I do. And then they really fucked with me, had me happy and shit, thinking that I had a new lease on life.
Had me smiling and shit, not brooding and fucking being all sad and shit.
Yeah, because we never see that man smile. He actually smiled. And so, like, now that he know he dying, he ain't got nothing to live for. Oh, you bitches are going the fuck down. Y'all are going so down. It's not even funny. So he does his thing. He starts investigating. And then we notice he hop on the phone and he's like, he needs to speak to a detective. And so we're kind of in this montage of him. We start to see these scenes. And now we're starting to see scenes of everyone who was involved in the whole process mm-hmm. of him getting his surgery. So we see what was the young man's name who was the cab driver? Was it Diego?
Diego. Yes, so he's first.
We see Diego. He's in the cab talking like he does, because he talks too much. And so someone gets out the cab, and then someone gets in the cab. So we see a scene where he's like in the he's in the driver's seat, and then the person gets in the back of the cab. And he's like, where to? And the guy in the back says, al diablo. So basically to hell. And then we see him get covered up, and we know it's Mr. Kramer. So then we see the next scene. We see Diego, excuse me, is in this space. It looks like a warehouse, and he's got some contraptions on him. Because he's kind of like, he's like tied to a wall at first, right?
I don't know if it's a wall, but he's on like a platform. He's tied up and he's restrained.
And then you see his arms. So he's got these things on his forearms. We can't tell what they are yet. And then his hands are taped up with masking tape, and then they're scalpels. So he looks like Captain Hook, but scalpels.
Captain Scalpels. That's what he
looks up. He looks up and he sees John Kramer, Jigsaw. He's just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, please. And John Kramer's pretty much like, yeah, bitch, you know, you was part of this. But he did it in his calm, stoic way, where he's just pretty much like, you know what the fuck you did. So we're going to play a game. And basically, you have to cut these cancers out of you. You got to cut the cancer out. What he's talking about is these things. And it looks it looks like bombs, and they've been fused to the inside of him. So he has these scalpel things. So the arrangement is cut them out. And if you do it in time, you get to live. And so once he moves, the timer starts going off, and it's 3 minutes. I gotta talk about these 3 minutes, y'all. John be giving people three. Like, first of all, these people are in shock. 3 minutes ain't John be like, act quickly. It's just like 3 minutes.
John be like, look, I got shit to do. You got shit to do. So. Three minutes is all I can spare to play with you right now.
Like, so of course he's, you know, at first people, I'll be like, because I'm viewing it. I'm like, damn, you got 3 minutes. So people always spend like 30 seconds going off on the guy, and it's like time, you need to make a decision. So he takes one of the scalpels, and then he goes in his arm, and it looks painful. It's just like, because it looks like it's really fused in like just like a claw, and he's ripping, like just ripping through his forearm. It looks so painful. So he gets one off, and then he has to work on the other one. And when he's working on the other one, time's ticking away, because he's like, he got less than like in 20 seconds, and he got to hurry up and rip, because it's like the cables are some type of metal wire, so it's not like it would snap like a rubber band. Mm-hmm. And he's got to get in there, and it's just, it's really gross, it's real painful. And right before the timer goes off, he gets it off and he throws them away so they're far away from him, and then the timer goes off, and then you see these things explode. So mm-hmm. had he not got them off in time, he would have blew his arms off. He
blew his arms off.
Yeah. And then that's pretty much where the scene ends. So we don't see what happens. We just know, at least from him taking it off, he didn't die. I don't know if that motherfucker succumbed to injuries later, but no. Okay. It was done is done. So next, we start to see a scenes of the people involved. So we see a woman at the club, mm-hmm. and the woman at the club is Valentina. She mm-hmm. was supposed to be like the nurse that was a part of the surgery. So she's at a club, and now these people, we see them in their real lives. No, she's in the club. A guy wants to holler at her and pretty much take her out the club and do some whole shit. Mm-hmm. And they go out to the car, and she's pretty much like, so what's up with the money? And he's like, we ain't talk about no money. And she's just like, she's like, I need my $40. Need my $40. And so he gets really unhinged, like per usual, because these men now, they just be watching all these podcasts and Andrew Tate. So like, he's on his alpha male bro shit, and he forces her in the car. So I guess he's just gonna take it. Like, you're just gonna rape a bitch in the car out in the public? Like, some people are crazy. So while he's doing that, she's trying to fight him off, and then we notice that the glass behind him explodes. So we're thinking, to me, I was thinking, did somebody shoot the car? Because he's down. Mm-hmm. He's down. And so she's thinking, oh, like, she's good. And then, because she's leaned against the door, and then the door opens and somebody yokes her up and takes her. So she's been kidnapped. The next scene where you're seeing, it looks like a veterinarian's office. Mm-hmm. And then we notice that the guy, it's Mateo.
Yes.
He was also, because Mateo was the guy doing the surgery, he was the surgeon. And so we see he's working in a fucking, I don't know if he's a veterinarian or he manages a veterinary office or whatever. So when he's in there, he's fucking in there, and then we notice a girl come in, because mm-hmm. he's going back looking, getting pills and shit. And then we notice the girl who comes in is Gabriella. Gabriella doesn't look like the sweet angel of a girl, like when Kramer was coming in and she was welcoming him in. She looks like she's strung out. Mm-hmm. And then we realize that this guy is giving her drugs. So he's
a drug dealer.
Just a scammer. And mm-hmm. so she ends up leaving. And then he gets yoked up and kidnapped.
Yes.
And so that happens. Gabriella goes to a club. She wants to take her drugs. She go in the bathroom. I guess she's gonna take them right in the open, but she goes up to a sink. Somebody was washing their hands, and right. Gabriella's like, God damn, can I take my drugs?
Can I do my drugs in peace, please? Like, damn, I know you see my pills out. Can I please be a druggie in peace? I asked for all this. I came in the bathroom for a reason.
She looked so offended that woman went in there to wash her hands. Like, this is not your bathroom.
This ain't your bathroom, and I'm in here occupied. I'm trying to have my safe space.
And she then goes into the stall, which would have made more sense to me anyway.
Right.
So while she's in there taking her her pills, she looks down and she sees these big ass shoes facing towards her. She's like, it's occupied. And the shoes won't leave. And it's just stillness. And she's just like occupied. She's frustrated because she's probably about to go off on somebody. And then she looks down and the shoes are gone. So she then gets up. You know, she's got her drugs. She wants to feel her drugs. And as she's walking out, another door from another stall hits her, knocks her out. And then we see her get dragged, and the person dragging her has like some kind of head mask.
Weird mask on.
Weird mask on. So next, it cuts to the doctor, and the doctor's in this beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, that house was gorgeous.
Girl, and you know that type of person ain't got no worries, because they had no curtains. It was just all glass.
But yes,
no
when you
real
have a,
walls.
When you got a house like that, you know you got some money, you got security, you like in a safe area, because it was a pretty much like a glass house.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor, while she's in there, we see her with a duffel bag, and it's bands and bands of money. And she's got the people's names that have helped her with the operation taped on some of the money. So I guess that was supposed to be their cut that she was going to give them. And so while she's in there, she hears, does she hear a noise?
She does, because she's currently on the phone scamming somebody the same way.
Oh yeah, she's
she
calling.
Ends up hearing a noise, and
because while she was in there, we start to see she kind of has a dossier, if you will, but it's like on a board of her patients that she scammed, and we see Mr. Kramer's picture on there. She grabs it and throws it in the trash. So I think the people that she had up there were prospective customers. So mm-hmm. she's on the phone doing the same bullshit spiel that she was doing with Mr. Kramer about like how she can help and like what we're gonna do in the process and all this stuff. And then she hears a noise. So she goes to check it out. And you know, if you got a badass house like that, you know you got a badass security system.
Right.
So she's got one that's got multiple monitors on there. And she's and then what's so crazy is when she looks, like, because she's clicking from view to view to view, and then she clicks on one view where you can see the whole outside of the house. And then she notices someone is on the roof. And then the person starts walking, and then they start banging something. I don't know, but they walk to the parts of the roof where she is in, because then you notice her ceiling starts to fall and come down. And that person gets it. No. So that happens. Yeah. Ceiling starts to come down. And so she hightails it out of there, and she goes into her garage, because she's going to drive and get the fuck up out of there, which was crazy to me. She really thought like nobody was going to be on the other side of that garage door. So she opens the garage, and you see somebody in a pig head costume. And
you know what that means.
And she's just like, oh, fuck, she's gonna try to hightail it. And then we see Mr. Kramer in the back. He has a syringe, puts it in her neck, knocks her ass out. And then we see the person take the goddamn pig head off, and it's fucking Amanda.
It's Amanda ass.
Girl, Tut, give a rundown of who Amanda is.
So Amanda, if for the recap, for the refreshment, if you've seen Saw 1 and Saw 2 and Saw 3, Amanda Young was Jigsaw's apprentice. In the first Saw film, she escaped the bear trap that he did. And then he took her in because she survived, and wanted to make her his successor of all of his work and his legacy and things like that. So after she survived her trap, she became like his apprentice, his partner in all of this. And so she helped him do his traps in Saw 2. She went kind of crazy in Saw 3, but because this movie takes place in between kind of like 1 and 2 and 3, this is all fresh and new to her. So this is like one of the few traps that she's like doing with John. So that's where Amanda fits in here at this point. This is all new for her. She's doing new shit. John put her up on some serial killer game. And so this is what she's doing right now. So
All right, girl. Thank you for the refresher. So next thing we know, we see a scene, and we see all the people that he has captured. They tied the fuck up. They're tied up in this warehouse looking space. And, you know, then as they're tied up and in distress, they notice that a doctor is being dragged in by Amanda, and they chain her ass up. And so all of them realize, they look at each other, and they're just like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? You know, it's all of us who was involved in this shiesty shit. And Amanda, she pretty much comes out, and then pretty much tells them about themselves, and then we see Kramer come out, and they just really, and then they're like, Kramer, what the fuck? Like, and you know, old girl's like, hey, you know, I know this is fucked up, but like, I can really help you. And John's like, cut the shit. My father, and she's like, my father is a real doctor. He can help. Bitch, hush, hush.
Like, bitch, I ain't trying to hear. I ain't trying to listen to you, right?
I ain't trying to hear none of it.
You got my money. You faked the whole fucking surgery on my ass. You ain't even cut my fucking hair to make it real. Like, you fuck all y'all up in here.
He's just like, I know, like, this is all a scam, and y'all are horrible. Like, you prey on people's hopes and weaknesses, and y'all are pretty much fucked around and found out. And then whatchamacallit, she figures him out. She's just like, Dr. Peterson. She's just like, oh, you're Jigsaw. Like, I pretty much know about you. And he's like, God damn right. What happens is the first person that's up is Valentina.
Mm-hmm.
So Valentina is sitting down, and they always be talking shit when they be in constraint. Like, when I get out of here, I'm gonna do
bitch. Do you not see all of this shit that's in front of you? Do you not notice how your hands are restrained? Like you have no type of awareness for you to be trying to talk shit to people,
right?
While you in this goddamn trap, you got a whole goddamn some shit, and she grabbed it. Like, she grabbed the little thing that was in front of that shit, cut her hand. You know how quiet I would have been after that.
And so she's in this contraption, and he's pretty much like, look, you got two options. Next to you is a fucking, like, pretty much like a piano wire and a tourniquet. You can, and if you look down, I have did some draw line incisions. What you gonna do is this. You gonna use that to take off your leg at the thigh, or this thing will, I forgot the name of it, like gear saw or something. It's gonna go.
So the Geely saw is the thing that she had to use to cut her leg. Yeah. And then she had to stick this thing in her bone to get the bone marrow, to get enough bone marrow out of it to undo the trap.
Yes. And basically, you have 3 fucked up minutes to do this. Make a decision. Or if you don't do it, and you don't get all of the bone marrow blood supply, and you don't get this content suctioned out of the part that you cut off, and by the time the 3 minutes is up, then this saw is gonna go, this wire is right in front of her neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna go straight through your neck and pretty much decapitate
and
you.
Cut your fucking head off. You got these 3 piece of minutes that I'm giving you.
So the shit, the clock goes, and she's freaking out. Like, it's such a fucked up situation. And so the people are cheering her on, like, get the tourniquet, girl. You got to do this. Because it's like, she is doing this. Like, she is not, it's not like it's a clean sweep. She's going in there, and like, they're cheering her on. Not really cheering her, just like trying to motivate her to keep doing it. And like, oh man, she's ballsy. And she eventually gets that leg off. She gets it off. They're like, get the suction thing, and then so the blood can go in there, and the time is running out. And it's like the most fucked up double dare obstacle I've ever seen. That's a
obstacle for
it. It's just terrible. So time is running out, like, and
because he's like, not playing is not an option. Like, you don't have the option to not play.
I don't know the units, but she had to get at 350 units of whatever for their blood supply, and the time was running out. She was so close, but the thing went off. She had met the 3 minutes, so it's like, it's fucked up because she done cut her leg off.
She done from cut the leg off, yeah.
Didn't meet the supply. So now this saw is going back, and she's decapitated.
It literally, I mean, and it did it so clean and so smooth. Mm-hmm. It was just like, and her head was off, and then her body fell on the ground. And so she
got her off. Leg. It's just like 3 pieces of her just all on the ground. It was crazy. So I think that's when the people, I mean, when she had to cut her leg off, they realized he wasn't fucking around. But I think when they seen her in three pieces and what happened, they was just like,
So let's dissect these 3 minutes, okay? Because this was another one where he was just like, I'm gonna just give you the least amount of time I could possibly give you. She took like a whole minute to get her shit together because she was trying not to do it for at least the first minute. For like the first half of a minute, she was like, nah, I ain't doing this. And it was like, bitch, come on, you gotta do it because we gotta get the fuck out of here. And then she decided to do it and they started being her cheerleaders on the side. And then she had to like get enough time to get through that goddamn leg, that goddamn thigh with that damn saw.
Not my black ass thigh. I'm be like, I need 8 minutes because these thighs are thying. No, that had no. Only skinny people can be in that obstacle because you know what? If had that been me, I would have been like, John, fucking really? Look at these legs.
John, you really expect me to cut through this in 3 minutes? Like, these thighs eat grits and red beans and catfish. They don't eat no fucking kale and smoothies and shit. I'm not going to get through this. It's going to take me a minimum of 3 minutes just to break the skin, John, of this big ass thigh you want me to cut. Come on.
Can I do my foot? Because this ain't going to work. 3 minutes is not going to work. Like, come on. Girl, I would have to negotiate because I'm like, John, you just...
I know when you saw this person, you was like, all right, you know, she should have enough time with this, but it's me, John. My thigh is about 3-4 times bigger than this young lady. So you gave me 3 minutes, so you at least need to extend my time to 16 minutes. Come on,
yeah.
John.
Yeah. She's dead. I'm gonna backtrack a little bit because when they brought Dr. Peterson in there and tied her up, they took Amanda had a cart and they took all of their belongings and their phones and shit and put it on this cart. Mm-hmm. So the cart was kind of in this middle space in between them. So like they were close to it, but obviously you're tied up and restrained so they couldn't get it. So Amanda and fucking John leaves them to themselves because they're going to come back for more action. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Whatchamacallit, Peterson is close to the body. So she's close to what's left of Valentina's torso.
So they're discussing trying to get a rope to grab this cart that has their phone and stuff on it. And
then they're like, we don't have a rope. But you know, doctor, she's the thinker. And right when she said a rope, I was just like, I know this bitch ain't gonna do what I think she's gonna do. And she did it. She got that body. She found some kind of blade and went through her stomach and took out her whole entrails. And now they have a chitlin rope. They are taking this intestines and throwing at one another so they can all maneuver some type of way to get this intestines over to move the cart closer to her. And they did. It was fucked up, but smart.
See, this is why I'm not in the medical field because I don't know shit about it. So when she was grabbing that torso, I was like, what the fuck are you doing with the torso? What kind of sick ass fucking person are you? Why are you messing with this woman's body? Why are you cutting into this girl's body? It rope inside the body didn't even click in my head until she had gotten it out and she started stretching it out. And I was like, bitch, did you really have to do this?
Like, but she did though. That was smart though. That was smart.
It was. And it just took my whole little brain. I was like, this is why I can't play these damn jigsaw games because I'm not that intelligent. I would have just been like, let's tie our hand. You got a jacket, you got a shirt, I got a shirt. We need to tie this shit together and get this shit on there. I wasn't even thinking I'm gonna mutilate the rest of this damn body to get this chitlin rope out of here. It was not even, that wasn't even on my bingo card of ideas.
Child, so they maneuver this thing, this little rolly cart, and then she gets the phone. And she gets the phone and she makes a call, and you can tell she gets through to somebody because she says a name like Meg. She says Meg, and then Amanda comes from behind her, takes the phone, and was
Shock the
pretty
shit
much,
out of her.
yeah, shocked the shit out of her, like, bitch, you tried it. And then she takes the entrails, and she takes the cart, takes the phone, and rolls that shit away, so it's like nowhere near them. So what happens next?
I
You know,
think after
they all
this.
begging and shit, and Valentina's like, please, 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 like, you know, save me. And Amanda has a soft spot for Valentina. You can kind of
No,
tell.
Gabriella.
Gabriella.
Valentina's dead. Yeah.
Yeah, Gabriella. She has a soft spot for the, like, they don't really say anything, but you can just tell. So when they're up there, I think he's saying something to, she's saying something to Jigsaw about, like, you know, she's on drugs and, like, pretty much, like, 'cause was she on drugs before too?
Yes, that's part of the reason why she was in the bear trap in the first Saw, because she was a druggie and she was like stealing stuff and in jail and out of jail and stuff like that, and she didn't value her life, and that's why
And
John
so
put her in that bear trap. So
and
yeah,
so
she kind of saw herself
yeah,
in
she was feeling
Gabriella.
very the empathy for her. And the thing was, Gabriella
And
was
John was like, fuck all these motherfuckers. They all fucking, they ain't shit. They all took my money.
yeah, and she was supposed to be next, but like he, I don't know what she said to him, but when she got back down there, she was like, I am saving you. Your ass is supposed to be next. So like, chill out. So then we get to what's his name? Is it
Mateo.
Mateo?
Oh, in the meantime, once they start getting Mateo ready, that's when Parker Shears, is that what his name is?
The guy who had the throat cancer
Yeah, Parker
that got
Shears, the
shot.
guy who had the throat surgery, comes to the building banging on it, you know, talking about he want his money. He came there for his money. And so they let him in, and
Because
he's there to witness
and because he came, we do realize this place is like, I guess, the area or the building where the surgery was done. And because I was like, how did he know this was the place to go? So he knew, and because I'm sure when he realized he still had the cancer or whatever, and he's back because he's pissed off too. And so he comes up in there. You know, he's got a gun because he's sick of these motherfuckers. They scammed him, and fucking Amanda and John are like, look, we don't fuck with guns. Like, you can do whatever you want, but no guns. Pretty much sit your ass down, and they end up taking the gun from him. You're gonna sit here and you're gonna watch and witness what's gonna go on because these people deserve it. We then see whatchamacallit, Mateo
Mateo.
in his trap. He's like, he's sitting down. He's in some restraints. Is this the time when that doll comes in?
Yes.
Okay, so while he's sitting there in the restraints, we look in the shadows and the fucking the doll.
The doll comes in because
Lil'
the
Kim.
doll has the stuff on the
The back of
tray
the cart.
that
Yeah.
he's gonna need for his trap.
He comes in on a tricycle with things in the back. And I'm just like, fuck is operating this doll? Like,
Who brought it? Did you tell Amanda to bring this motherfucking doll just for this? Like, you was that
it has
pissed
to be
off,
because he,
John?
remember John came on there on a plane, and I just don't see that going through TSA, you know? Yeah, I think and Amanda drove it and put it in the car and came down there. Yeah, and she drove to Mexico. So this thing pulls up and they're like, what the fuck is that? Because you know, when you see this thing, it's very jarring. We see Mateo fucking in these restraints. And John's pretty much like, you know, he does his spiel where he talks to him. And he's pretty much like, yeah, since you want to be a brain surgeon so bad, you are going to have to do brain surgery on you. I've shaved a piece of your head off. And next to you is a fucking scalpel. You're gonna have to cut your head off You're gonna have to go into your skull.
To that skull.
Pop that bitch open. And then I need you to take a piece of brain matter out. And the brain matter you take out, it must weigh a certain amount. And you gotta do this shit in 3 minutes. Just 3 minutes, be fucking me up. So he's like, TikTok, motherfucker. And so he's sitting there freaked out. And you know, Dr. Peterson and Gabriella gotta watch this shit happen. And like he gets the gumption to do it. And he takes the scalpel and opens his head up, and then there's something where it's almost like pliers, and it's just like, it's so crazy because you got to, you don't, it's the fucking brain. It's just like, whatever he took the right place, because you could hit any kind of nerve and just do anything. So you got 3 minutes, and of course the time is winding down because this is not something that you can do so seamlessly. You know, he's got a mirror too to kind of help guide him take it out. And then, so he eventually takes out a piece of the brain and he puts it in there, and it looks like he needs a little bit more. So he goes back for more, and the clock ran out. And then when the clock runs out, we realize his thing that he's encased in, it's like an open mask, and then it closes in on his head like a fucking panini press. And then what's so crazy is that this fucking mask, it looks like that Mayan or Incan symbol where Diego was telling people come here to throw down the heart. So I was just like, wow. So it's fucked up because it's like, I'm thinking of the girl, like, damn, she cut off her leg. Like, these people be so close, and like, she cut off her leg, she's getting the blood, and she still got decapitated. This guy,
they be taking that 4 minutes to fuck around. Like, we don't need to hear you talking. We just need to, you need to be moving. Like,
do it.
They use that whole first minute to do their whole,
But you know, you were in shock. I get it, because you were in shock.
Yeah.
So this nigga, it's like, damn, you just opened your head for nothing, and now your whole head is just squished in. It's fucking crazy.
Now your head is a panini.
For real. And so now, you know, Gabrielle is all freaked out. What happens next? Do they put Gabriella up, or is this when
this is when the guy comes out and he's like,
because he sees that, he's like, y'all some sick motherfuckers.
Yeah. And then they argue, and then it's Gabriella's time.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gets, you know, because she don't even want to touch the poor little thing or whatever. But the lady was like, reporter. No. Yeah, she was like, look, you got to do it. Like, you got to do this, or we just going to be stuck in here.
Yeah, because she took the recorder, and then she threw it away. And then, then Sean Kramer got on the mic like, bitch, we have a contingency plan. Just because you don't want to hit play or listen. Right? So I'm going to talk.
You ain't got to play if you don't want to play, but bitch, you ain't getting out of here.
Yeah.
If you don't
He's
play.
Pretty much like, you know, a nigga has cancer and like, all the MRIs and CAT scans and all the radiation I've had to deal with, because that's part of the process. So you're going to deal with the process.
You're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we notice like she is chained up by her arm, and she's chained up by her foot, and then she starts levitating. So she is in restraints with one arm and one foot, and then they lifted her in the air.
Mm-hmm.
They lifted her in the air, and then she notices this light beam, and it starts to come on. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as he's talking, we're realizing, oh, this shit's going to be hot. It's radiation.
It's radiation. Yeah.
And then while she's up there, there's like this fucking axe hammer thing close to her. And they're basically like, if you want to get out, you're going to have to fucking break your foot. Yeah, and break your arm. That's the way you can get out these restraints. Mm-hmm. And
you break your wrist. Break your ankle.
And bitch, you got 3 minutes.
You got these 3 minutes.
So
she didn't play around though. Like, she didn't do the whole fussing or whatever. She was about to bust that ankle, I mean that wrist open first.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, nah.
Yeah, because she's seen two people, and she realized, I can't fuck around. Mm-hmm. I need to use the 3 minutes. So she was going to town, going ham on her arm. The doctor's like,
ham on that wrist.
The doctor's
the doctor cheerleader was like, no, bitch, no, do the ankle first. and
That
then
way,
you swing out the way of the radiation once you get rid of that ankle. And she was doing that shit. That, no,
yes.
let me tell you something. Druggies got stamina. Druggies got fucking resilience. They got perseverance. They done lived through some shit. They done did some shit to make it every day. So you were just like, fuck this ankle. I'm out. You know, I'm out the bap, 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 bap. And she bapped the shit out of it.
And got out of it. So it flung her out. So she was still restrained by her arm, but it flung her out of the direction of the radiation. So then I was like, oh, the bitch is safe, girl. They turned that thing on and it moved to the left. It was in front of where she is now. I was like, oh, damn. I was like, she's safe. She beat the game. And he was like, uh-uh.
What?
And then
I'll be already two, three, 420 steps ahead of y'all.
And then they, man, not only did
their radiation machine slid right on over. It was like nothing.
They put that shit directly in front of her. And then they turned that shit on to high, the highest of highs. And she's over there. Her skin and flesh is burning.
Oh my God.
And so she's like, you know, the doctor turned around like, bitch, bang your wrists. You got to get out of there. So she's banging and burning and banging and burning and banging and burning. And eventually she breaks her arm enough to get out the restraints and just plops on the ground and hits the ground hard as fuck. And so she's burnt up and with a broke foot and a broke arm or a broke wrist, and she fell. So I know it's just a painful ordeal, but
yeah, she had to drop from that height too.
Height. So yes, ooh. But she managed to do it all under 3 minutes.
Yes, she successfully completed her trap.
Mm-hmm.
John then tells Amanda, you know, we need to get her to a hospital so she could be taken care of, because you know she did right. She got out of trap. She need to get her help.
And that's one thing I'll give about him. He stands by his word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's at least he's fair. You get out the trap, you're going to get this. You're going to get your help. And she got out of it. He's telling Amanda, we need to go down and we need to get her to the hospital. And then lo and behold, Parker Sears is like, fuck all this dumb shit. I done got my goddamn gun. Y'all some crazy ass motherfucking people. Y'all need to get downstairs. We ain't doing all that shit. And John was like, bro, didn't I tell you that guns, like we don't do guns here. Like the guns, like you're not following the rules if you fucking with guns right now. He was just like, get y'all asses downstairs and all this kind of stuff. So they all go downstairs. Parker Sears brings John and Amanda down into the warehouse. They see poor little Cecilia on the ground, and they're still trying to like tell them, you know, we need to give them some help. Parker Sears meets up with Cecilia and they do that whole little kissing thing, and that lets you know that they've been in on it and that Parker Sears is in on the whole con thing, that his ass didn't in fact get any surgery and he's talking about getting his money, as in getting his cut from the scam, not getting his money back from the surgery that he got, because he never got that surgery done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you see that they're in it together and John is still upset, like, y'all fucking around and y'all fucking this up and, you know, y'all need to get this woman to a hospital. And Cecilia is like, who the hell is she? Why we got to get her to a hospital? You know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And proceeds to step on the child's neck, steps on Gabriella's neck, and snaps her neck, kills her right then and there. And you know how John feel about murderers.
Mm-hmm.
John don't like murderers. So now he's really goddamn pissed, because y'all messing up his game, you messing up his teachings, you're using guns and you're killing people. So now everything is all messed up and he is just pissed off. So now they turn the tables on John and Amanda, and Cecilia tells John to get in the trap that he had set for her. And the trap that he had set for her, it was designed, it had like a port or a portion for two people. So he chains himself in one.
Think of like a seesaw.
Yeah, it was kind of like a seesaw. And he tells her to chain himself in a trap. So he goes and he chains himself in a trap, and then they have Amanda chain herself, not in the trap, but in one of the chains, the many chains that's in this goddamn warehouse. And so they're wondering, like, if John is on this side of the trap, who was supposed to be on the other side of the trap? In the meantime, Cecilia is talking her shit, talking shit to John, talking down to John. And, you know, I knew who you were, and I couldn't believe who you were when I found out. And I just couldn't believe it. It was the John Kramer, the Jigsaw, and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I'm getting out of here. I'm getting this money. And you could have just left us alone. And had you just not come back and tried to do stuff, we wouldn't be in this situation. But you had to try to come back and one up me. So now I'm about to come in and I'm about to do something dirty to you. So she sees and hears this noise outside that's banging, banging, banging on the door outside. And they look in the cameras and they see that this little boy named Carlos is outside with his little soccer ball. John met him early on when he came into the complex in Mexico City. And he's kicking this soccer ball and he's, you know, playing outside. And so Cecilia is like, well, now you about to get to watch somebody innocent die.
Hold on, wait, go back to when he met him. Explain what happened and remember the Spanish word.
So earlier in the movie, John meets this little boy, Carlos. And Carlos doesn't really understand English, just like, you know, John just doesn't really know how to speak Spanish. But he fixes Carlos's bike, the wheel on Carlos's bike. And he's pulling on the rim to try to fix it. And so he asks Carlos, how do you say pull in Spanish? And so Carlos tells him how to say pull in Spanish. And so that's their earlier, you know, interaction. Like, he's really nice to John and John really likes Carlos and he's really sweet to him. And so that was their interaction in the beginning of the movie. So now Cecilia is like, you know, I'm gonna fix your ass. I'm gonna make sure you watch somebody die who was an innocent person in one of your traps. And so she goes outside.
Oh, and pull in Spanish is jala.
Yes, thank you.
I was looking for it. I was like, what do you think?
Allah. And so Cecilia goes outside and she gets Carlos and brings Carlos downstairs. And she's like, yeah, we're gonna put you in this. Well, she doesn't say like we're gonna put you in a trap, but she's basically telling John, you know, because you came back and you had to try to do all of this and stuff, and you could have just left us alone. Now you're gonna get to watch this little boy die in one of your traps. So he has Carlos get chained up and stuff in the trap. So he's laying down with the chain on his neck. John is laying down with the chain on getting ready to lay down with the chain on his neck, and he grabs Cecilia. Like, he's like, I'm about to snap your neck if you don't play with me. And then Parker Seals puts the knife up to Carlos's neck and like, you know, you let her go or I'm gonna kill this little boy and blah, blah, blah. And so John Kramer was looking at her like, bitch, I can't wait to kill your ass. But then he lets her go and then he gets into the trap. So him and Carlos are laying on this seesaw type of trap.
So there's a lever that, so when they're laying down, because mm-hmm. they're to the ground or on this flat surface, that's mm-hmm. how they're restrained. By their neck. So their arms are free, mm-hmm. Or at least their wrists is. And beside both of where John is and Carlos, there's a lever next to them. So he looks at Carlos, because John makes these contraptions, so he know how it works. He looks at Carlos and he says, no halar, mm-hmm. no halar. So Carlos understands, like, right. just under any circumstances, don't pull the lever.
Don't pull the lever, that's so, right.
They get this thing going, and when once the shit starts, you start to see this liquid, which I'm assuming is blood, starts to fall on John and Carlos in their mouth. So this is kind of like a waterboarding torture situation, and they're flat down. So he's just like, no halar. So he pulls the lever. So when he pulls it, John Kramer pulls the lever. It causes him to be more inverted. and Carlos is up, and like all of the stuff that was pouring on Carlos is no longer, so he's safe. And so all John is just getting all of this just torture. He's upside down, he's inverted, and then all this liquid is, I mean, he is just being, he's getting pummeled, he's getting fucked up. And then
it's the like boy, the lady, like what does she say in the film? She said it was like being, it's like bloodboarding, like instead of waterboarding, it's
he's basically drowning. He's basically being drowned. And Carlos sees it and he's just like, I can't let this man is dying. So he disobeys his orders and he pulls the lever so John can get some release, and now it's on him. So now the boy is getting, he's getting the business. And then John does it again. And then what exactly happens after all?
Yeah, because after John puts the blood back on him, they're like still watching everything. And then Parker Sears and Cecilia go into the room
upstairs because that's where the money is.
The money, yes. And so when they go into the room to go get the money, whatchamacallit, Amanda, because they're leaving, and Amanda is telling Parker Sears, you know, she's going to cross you just like she's trying to, you know, she's trying to cross everybody else. She, you know she's going to kill you behind this money. And he was like, shut the fuck up, bitch, you know, whatever the hell he said. And then they went into the room. They went into the room to go get the cash. So they're looking at what's going on outside, and they reconnecting, and she's like, I'm so glad you came to see me, and blah, blah, blah. And they grab a bag that looks like it's full of cash off of a cabinet. And when they pull the bag, it's like a tripwire, and it causes like a timer, like they pull it from the top of it, and you see the timer start, and they actually get 10 minutes, not 2 minutes. They get 10 minutes.
Hey, everybody.
Everybody else got 3 minutes, but these ones just got 10 minutes.
And it caused the door to close in on them. So they are encased in this room. 10 minutes. Don't know what the fuck's going on. But them setting that off, it causes the seesaw waterboarding situation to stop.
That's correct. Yeah. So they're not there. Yeah, they stop being waterboarded. The control room where they are, it seals up with Cecilia and Parker Seals in it. And then you hear, like, you know, their little notes with their trap and, you know, their stuff going off. And then you start to see that there's a gas that's starting to come into the room. And then you see John gets out of his shackles, because, you know, he fucking built it. So of course he knows how to free himself without using the keys and all of this stuff. So he frees himself, he frees Carlos, he frees Amanda. And then you hear the tape in the room, and it's telling Cecilia and Parker, you know, that he tricked them and he knew all about their scam and blah, blah, blah. This deadly gas is coming into the room, and only one of you are gonna be able to survive and get out of the room. There's this big ventilation hole in the room, and there's only room for one person. So now the two of you are gonna have to fight each other to see which one of y'all are gonna survive in this room. And so they start to fight each other. And Cecilia's like, I'm the boss, and I'm this and I'm that. I'm getting the hell out of here, and I'm getting out here with my money. And in the meantime, they look in the bag and they notice that the bag does not have any money in it. So they done been tricked all the way. Like, they ain't got no money up in there. And they about to die if both of them are trying to survive.
It was papers of, wasn't it papers of all the, like, the amounts of money? Because I felt like I heard in the movie, like, it was $1 million per person. So that's how much money. And it was like over 30 people on that list. So like, I mean, it was a lucrative scam.
Yeah, it was a big ass list of people that they scammed, and all of the money that they scammed from these people that was in that bag, and not the money that they were looking for. And so, yeah, they basically get into a fight into the room, and Cecilia stabs Parker Shields in the side. And I guess he basically dies, because she's the one who manages to get her head into the ventilation hole. In the meanwhile, because of this gas that's coming in the room, it's basically like searing and burning their skin. So I don't know if that was another type of form of radiation. I don't know. It was just some chemical that's basically like making it hard for them to breathe and searing all of their skin. And so while she has her head stuck out the ventilation thing, she sees that Carlos and Amanda and John are leaving the facility. So before they leave, they get the money because the money had been down there the entire goddamn time on that little cart that they pushed with the chitlin rope. The money was there the entire time. And so now they get to leave. So they grab the money. John gives the money to Carlos. And then they leave the facility. And then when they leave the facility, it's just like this real idyllic, sunshiny, fucking happy family fucking ending of a movie. And they walk outside and it's all sunshiny. And then everybody is all smiles. And then the movie goes off, the credits.
And that ends it. I was like, oh, that's the ending. Okay. Like, kind of not really the ending I wanted, but I did appreciate, there's a lot of things I appreciate. I'll go into that. But while you're sitting there, you know, credits start rolling. And this is the time where, you know, grabbing your shit. And I'm grabbing the fucking Chinese food that I snuck in there and my little drinks and hold my purse. And then I step two steps and it's like, uh-oh, we got another scene in the credits.
Yeah. You know,
and I'm like, oh my God.
Never had a mid-credit.
They want to be a Marvel movie so bad. They use the whole Marvel formula. So and then who do we see in this room that's pretty much tied up? Fucking Henry Kessler. And yes, that's what your ass get. And because I was wondering through this whole movie, I was like, he was a part of this too. Mm-hmm. Why is he not a part of the torture thing?
So but, what I loved about like the opening of this scene is that we're back in the fucking room that started it all. We're back in the bathroom from scene one. And so like you see the lights come on and you like, oh shit, what the fuck about to happen? And then you see the bald head man from the beginning, Henry Kessler, he's like chained up and he's like waking up like, what the fuck is happening and blah, blah, blah. And then you see Jigsaw and he's like, yeah, I got your bitch ass bald head lying ass man. Where is your scar? Like, what is going on? Like you lied and all this kind of stuff. And then the next shot you see Detective Hoffman, who I can't fucking stand. But anyway, that ain't got nothing to do.
Who was Detective Hoffman again?
So Detective Hoffman was the detective in Saw 3 through Saw, I want to say 6 or 7, that was helping Jigsaw to do his crimes.
Okay, yeah. So again, like Tut had mentioned, this happened kind of in between part one and part two. So this is a prequel, if you will, even though it is number 10 in the series. And so you can tell he's about to get fucked up because he was part of it too. And then the movie ends for real and the credits roll.
He got a nice little new little trap on his not scarred anymore belly. And they look like they about to go in on him.
So we don't see what happens to him, but we know he gonna get it. So as far as this movie, I really enjoyed this movie. I will say it is now October 2003. I think this is probably one of the best horror movies I've seen this year compared to the things that have come out and the things that I've seen, because what have I seen? Cocaine Bear, I mean, that was like a horror comedy. Megan, saw a couple of other things. Evil Dead Rise was good to me. The girl and her monster, the one with the hand, Talk to Me.
So that's my favorite of the year so far.
Is it? I can't figure out which one's my favorite, but I will say this is one of the better ones. So I enjoyed it. As far as what would you rate the movie?
So I feel some kind of way because I thought it was an okay film, and compared to, because I did the whole marathon of 1 through 7 I did not watch Spiral. I did not watch Jigsaw. So I would have to say of the seven that I watched, I would definitely say it's right after one and two for me.
Okay.
I liked three, but I feel like three wasn't executed as good as it could have been. Mm-hmm. This one I liked. I liked seeing an early Jigsaw or early John Kramer starting to get his footing with his traps. I liked that they had him, period, in the film, because the other Jigsaws and that whole little sprinkle of John Kramer, I wasn't really happy about it, because I'm
He was totally immersed in this film, like him as John Kramer, not like mastermind.
Exactly.
So I appreciated that.
I did love that about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess at some point in the beginning, I kind of felt like it was just going on a little bit too long, but that's probably just me and my impatience with the film.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy it. So mm-hmm. I think the only other thing that probably threw me off was that goddamn happy fucking we're a big ass family ending at the end. And that's probably just a personal preference, because I love like horror films that don't have a happy ending. Like I want to see the people try to escape, and just when they think they done escaped, mm-hmm. they all die. Or some shit like that. So for me to see this ending amongst all of the Saw films mm-hmm. and their crazy ass endings, to see them walk out into this little sunniness, like, you know, Mama Bear and Papa Bear and Baby Bear with the money. I was just like, what the fuck? Am I watching a Lifetime movie right now?
Oh,
like,
Jesus Christ.
it changed. Like, it changed the vibe for me. I was just like, I don't like that. Like, and of course, you know, John is going to live because of the placement of the you know, timeline of this story. You know, John is going to live. You know, Amanda's going to live.
Mm-hmm.
I just was, that ending just threw it off for me.
If someone had to see it, what you giving it a, giving it a matinee.
I'm giving it a matinee. I'm giving it a go see it for $5. AMC got five discount Tuesdays. Go see it for $5 on discount Tuesday. Don't spend your full 20 something goddamn dollars on this movie.
I think I'm gonna give it a matinee too.
Yeah,
I'm gonna give it a matinee too. I did enjoy it, and I think things that I enjoyed about it was just aside of, you know, you always want to see what these new contraptions are going to be and like what they're going to do to people. But I enjoyed that the villain was the hero. And so it's like, you kind of feel like this weird moral thing in you, because you're like, we've seen this guy kill motherfuckers for years. And so now we're just, and I think it's also, I think people, if you're genuinely a good person, you hate to see people take advantage of people.
Yes.
So I wanted all of them to get their comeuppance. I really, really did. Especially with the medical system and big pharma and healthcare mm-hmm. and like just people getting screwed over, taken advantage of, and preying on people's hopes. So it's like, this time the villain was the hero. And so
And you still got to see like a little bit of his humanity. Like you know, based on this I don't know how to talk, timeline, that timeline. We gonna go with that. So you know he's done a few tests already. You know he's done a few traps. And so he was still in that space of, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I want to have hope. I want to have this. Like, you still see that humanity in him before they take all that shit away and he go full fucking Jigsaw mm-hmm. on this group of people. You know, mm-hmm. so I did love that glimpse a lot.
And that, what you just said is important, because like he really, really got fucked with. So like, you can really see, oh, now that you understand the placement of where this is in the series, you can see where the gears switch, and he's just like, mm-hmm. fuck all of y'all.
Right.
Everybody gonna get it.
Everybody. These traps is rated E for everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody gonna get it. So
yeah,
and,
so
and one other thing that I kind of didn't like it didn't sit well with me was not in, and it's not Detective Hoffman. God, I swear y'all, I can't stand that dude. But it wasn't him that I kind of was disappointed with. I feel like that whole like mid-credit scene, it was almost like they forgot, you know, like, oh, we forgot about this person. Let's hurry up and shoot this scene so we can kind of address it. Like somebody might have brought it up in a production room and been like, well, if all these people did all of this, what y'all gonna do about this guy who kind of like told him about the whole, you know, setup thing?
So I'm you just know, I was thinking about him. I was like, who, where is Terry's husband from Soul Food? Where is he? Because I still am mad at him about that. I'm like, he was a part of this shit too. Where, like, I was just like, they gonna let that nigga get away free? And then when I seen him, I was just like, yes, motherfucker.
I felt like somebody in the cutting room was like, oh shit, we forgot to add this, or we forgot to address this person. Let's hurry up and put this in the credits, you know. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen him got dealt with, just me like too. Those four got dealt
like
with.
You know what, we gonna make this scar for real.
Yeah, you gonna get this scar. You gonna catch this scar. You know.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I'm all for the matinee. Go catch it. Catch it on a Tuesday. AMC got $5 discount Tuesdays. Go catch it. I think it's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah.
Make sure you watch at least the first three films first. Like I'm not even just gonna say one and two. I'm gonna say one, two, and three because three introduces Detective Hoffman.
Okay, yeah, give me some understanding. Okay, well, I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's a good film. I highly recommend you all go see it. Any takeaways? I have one takeaway.
If you know that the guy you're kind of, because she knew who he was. If you know that the guy you're conning is a serial killer, maybe you should rethink your strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't con a serial killer because you might get killed.
And he's not like a serial killer. He'd be like just slashing bitches in the throat. This is a meticulous serial killer. A meticulous serial killer who builds contraptions, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
My takeaway is, well, really too, stop fucking scamming people. You niggas, y'all done ran out of the PPP money, and like you just, instead of just, you know, doing what's right, you just always trying to come up on a buck and like taking advantage of people who are dying. You are sick. But my other takeaway is, you know, I'm not one to tell somebody how to do their job, but 3 minutes ain't enough for these people to get out of these situations.
Like, yeah. That was my second takeaway. Like
3 minutes ain't enough.
If you got 3 minutes the whole time, because you have these minutes before the tapes start talking, you should be thinking. Like you should be in think mode before these 3 minutes start, so that by the time these 3 minutes
but you
start,
don't but you
see, you
but
already you working on stuff.
No, but you don't really know what's happening because he's talking to you. I don't know. Some people really don't figure it out until the ticking, and then they're kind of looking at what's going on, and then they're like, oh my God. But yes.
They take that whole first minute to do stuff. They take that whole first minute. They spend that whole first 30 seconds talking about, I don't want to do it. And then the whole next 30 seconds, like, what am I going to do? And how do I do it? And then how to figure out. So by the, you done burnt the whole minute after that.
Yeah, that's my takeaway. 3 minutes ain't enough. So
I'm just like, if you get yourself in a situation of a jigsaw trap, just tell him go ahead and kill you. Because first of all, the way that his voice sound on the tape, I'm gonna need him to repeat itself a couple of times. I'm gonna need him to slow it down.
Because a bitch like me gonna be like, huh?
Right. Whatever. And bruh, I can't hear you. I don't understand. What this said, John,
speak
you don't
up
have to come speak to me clearly. In your regular voice. I can't understand this.
God damn. But yeah, so yeah, 3 minutes ain't enough. And basically, you know what? Just be a good person. Like, be a good person. Don't be a piece of shit, because you just never know pull him you up. You think you're doing shit in the shadows and somebody's always watching you. So like, just be on your square. That's all I got for the movie. We want to thank you so much for listening to us. I know it's been a while, but stay tuned. We're gonna do our very best to do a quick turnaround so we can have this out, because the next movie that we are planning to do is The Girl and Her Monster.
Angry Black Girl and Her Monster.
The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster. I mean, that title alone lured me in. So just share our shit. Tell people we're here. Tell your horror aunties are back. We're on all digital streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. So share this, tell a friend, all of that good stuff. We appreciate you guys listening to us. Be blessed and don't be shiesty, and have a good one. Bye.
Bye.